Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
All right, come here.
Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Walkers and Talkers, episode 215. I'm David Brody from Elvis Duran and the Morning Show, and hopefully you know what I'm going to say next. That's Jamie from Light FM. Hi, Jamie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. We got last week's episode out late. I think I got it out, I want to say Saturday morning, and then we're having a problem with the back end, like you had when you broke your ass. We're having a problem. It didn't post properly. So a couple of people tweeted and said, hey, the episode's not here. So I had to go and redo the system and the thing with the thing. And so it went up late Saturday, I believe. So we're going to do a little better this week, even though I'm on vacacion.
We're still doing it for the people.
That's right, for the people. But we're back. I would like to say a couple of things. I went to see a limited run Broadway show on Saturday night. My wife and I went to see Take Me Out.
Oh.
Which stars Patrick J. Adams from Suits, Jesse Williams from ER, and Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family.
Oh, I love him.
And it's a show about a baseball team, and one of the players on the team comes out as gay in the middle of a season. And how the team and the fans and different people handle that.
And did you like it?
Loved it. It not only was it hilarious, there's some emotional scenes. I got a little teary-eyed. Some of it I got teary-eyed because it's baseball, and baseball just makes me tear up.
Pulls on the heartstrings.
Especially when you talk about the beauty of the game, which they did, and oh my God, I love baseball so much. But the play is fantastic. I will warn you, they take your phones when you go in.
Oh.
Because there's a lot of male frontal all around nudity.
Oh my, okay.
But I will say it was done for the sake of the play. It makes sense in the play, and you get used to it after a minute or two. But just be prepared. But it's a fan, like, I wouldn't take the kids, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's not a baseball family fun thing. It is just a fantastic, hilarious, well-written, beautifully acted play. And Ferguson, just how Ferguson is brilliant, brilliantly funny and charismatic in his mannerisms. And it's just so good. But it's only running, and it was running till May 29th, and they extended it 2 weeks. So I think till mid-June. So if you have a chance, if you're in the New York area or you're planning to come, it's not a commercial. I'm just saying, go see it. It was just that good.
That sounds great.
So funny. Oh, my God. And it's at the Helen Hayes Theater, which is very small. It's a very small theater. So there's really no bad seats because it's small.
Yeah.
So if you can get tickets and you're like, oh, what should I go see on Broadway? Go see the show. That's all. That being said, Walking Dead.
Let's
talk about The Walking Dead. Before we get into the recent episode of The Walking Dead, your section B of the three-part series season finale, the second mid-season finale, part B, episode 16. I did want to talk about Fear the Walking Dead's own spinoff, Dead in the Water. Only on AMC Plus. Jamie, you and I both watched it, correct?
Yes, we did.
Scale of 1 to 10.
Until the end, it was like a 9 for me. And then there was a lot of plot holes, I guess you would say. And I'm like, I have so many questions.
I think what we'll do is an overall review, because I don't know how many of you guys are watching it. You haven't subscribed yet to AMC Plus. I don't know. But so here's my review of the show so far. Exactly what Jamie said. So the show, it's not a spoiler. I wouldn't do that. But it takes place, it starts on the USS Pennsylvania, the submarine that was up on shore on Fear the Walking Dead. And if you're not caught up with Fear the Walking Dead, I'm not going to tell you why that was instrumental, but it was the entire season last year. It was in the first episode. Actually, it was two seasons, right?
Yeah, they discovered it, and then we saw it with yeah. The End is the Beginning spray painted on it, and then we right. saw really so, what was going on inside last season.
Right. So it's a big deal in Fear the Walking Dead. The show starts off, there's no apocalypse, and so they have to learn about the apocalypse and learn how to deal with walkers, and that part's interesting.
Which I love.
Yeah, and then it ended. And by the way, after 10 minutes, Riley, the really crazy long-haired freak that was in Teddy's cult
yep.
from Fear, as I talked about last week, he becomes root-forable.
Yes, he does. I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, very okay. Quickly. Like,
he
you like this
He doesn't
guy.
Have the dopey long hair.
No.
And by the way, if your hair looks like that, I didn't mean to say it was dopey. It was dopey on him. He's a family guy, and he's a leader, and you're rooting
yes.
for him.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, he's definitely rootable. So let me clarify. I think I mentioned that it's six episodes. It's actually six webisodes. So if you watch it on AMC Plus,
yes,
it shows you in the bottom left corner, part one, part two, part three, part four, part five, and part six. So it goes by. It's really the length of one mm-hmm. episode of TV. But if they release it on YouTube, it'll be six episodes.
Exactly.
So it's not six real episodes. It's six webisodes. Does that make sense?
Minis.
Yeah, minis. So overall, I liked it. Could have been better. I liked that they used the submarine set from Fear because they had talked about how expensive that was to make. So they
I'm
got
sure.
to repurpose it, which was nice. I don't know if they added any parts of the to the set. It looked like, I guess, mostly the same set pieces from Fear. The hallways were the same. There may have been an extra ladder. I don't remember. But they used the submarine again. They really did make it look like the inside of a submarine. Although the ending, we did talk about the ending. It's weird because they don't show you how they go from the, I'm not going to spoil anything, but they don't show you how they go from the submarine to the land. They just kind of like, whoosh, magic, they're on the land.
And we're on
the
land.
One thing I want to point out, a little bit of an Easter egg before we get to the Walking Dead review. Not really an Easter egg, but it's something I didn't notice the first time I watched it. And then I went back because I wasn't sure and I was correct in watching it a second time. Not a spoiler. But Riley, you know, there's two keys you need to set off a nuclear weapon, as they showed in Fear.
Yes.
He gives one of the keys. He keeps one. And he gives one of the keys to a guy on the ship, one of the other men who survived the zombie attacks, a guy with a beard named Walter. Now, if you remember, that guy, Walter, the same actor, was the guy in season 6, episode 1. The Bounty Hunter episode, or say season 7, whatever it was. The episode with the Bounty Hunter, and the guy comes to his campgrounds, and he's eating the beans, and...
God!
And he has the key, and he tucks the key in his shirt.
And he's with the dog.
And then Emil kills him. Spoiler?
Yes!
Right.
Oh my God!
That's the same actor from the ship, so they... What really, now you understand where that guy, Walter, got the key from. He was on the Pennsylvania.
Whoa, I need a minute. Holy.
Take a deep breath.
Good PI work.
Yeah, so overall, I would say watch it. It's fine. It's a nice time killer, and it fills in some pieces between...
Exactly.
Yeah, it fills in some pieces. So definitely watch it. Fair?
Fair. I liked it.
And Jamie and I agree. Normally, she's always like, Brody, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I never talked to him like that.
No, she calls me David. But that's the way she speaks to me. You people don't know the abuse I take. She's so mean.
Oh, yeah, me.
Jamie's the meanest. That's why I cover for her. That's so why mean. We don't do the podcast in studio anymore. I'm afraid of her.
Oh, my God.
All right. The Walking Dead, Acts of God, which is the title of the episode, which relates to the hordes of locust.
Oh, God, they locusts. Were creepy. Oof, oof.
Now, on Talking Dead, which you didn't see, Lauren Cohan, your Maggie, talked about how there was a scene they filmed where the locusts come down and land on her, one of them, and she slaps it dead, or Negan slaps it, and they kill it, and that they were a little more involved in the plot.
Huh.
And that they made them look really real, not the CGI ones, but the ones that were, like, on her, on the ground.
Ugh.
And then they cut it, so all you heard was buzzing. That was it. Angela Kang talked about how it's there to show you that nature can also be a factor and a problem. But really, were they a problem?
I mean, they really stayed above their heads, above the trees, so they really didn't show up.
If they swarmed down and stopped someone from capturing somebody or shooting someone, or they caused someone to get blinded and walk into a walker, I would be like, all right, they had an effect. They really didn't have an effect. I didn't think so. I didn't think it was all that important, other than to show that they exist in the world.
That's how I took it, too, and like an omen, kind of.
Yeah, a big deal. It was a waste of my time. I have more important things. Anyway, there was a horde of walkers outside a hilltop banging on the walls. The main house, the Barrington House is what they call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was on fire. We don't know why. And Hornsby is outside, angry, walking by himself, stepping in a pool of blood. We didn't know where the blood came from. Find out later. Angry Hornsby. Bad boy. And then, of course, I'm saying, we must have missed something. Oh, here, we're going to have flashback. And then, of course, flashback, 19 hours and one act of God ago. So then you're thinking, act of God. Did lightning hit it? That's an act of God, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There really was no act of God. The locust has nothing to do with anything. Nothing. So I don't know if Ian Goldberg wrote the episode, like he jumped over to The Walking
Ian
Dead.
Ian Goldberg wrote the episode.
I would seriously flick him right in the nose. I feel like he and his writing partner, I don't remember the guy's name, but it doesn't matter. The two of them, I just feel like they got the job out of college and they're winging it. Like, I think they submitted a paper and they were like, oh, this is the best one we've gotten. Let these guys write the show.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about them later because there was a commercial for Fear the Walking. Oh, there was a scene for Fear on Talking Dead that we hadn't seen before. And I'll mention that. Now, you didn't see Talking Dead because you don't have cable. And you have to wait till AMC Plus posts it.
I'm a little sad because I pay for AMC Plus and AMC.com, you can log in. And they never post Talking Dead till like Tuesday afternoon.
Now,
they
I'm not sure I believe you because just as a reminder, you're the person that said you don't know why they can't put Talking Dead up a week early. Like The Walking
Dead. That was just stupid. But I just checked and it's not up and they always do this.
All right, let me, while we're on the phone, let me check mine. I'm going to pull up AMC.
The last one I found everywhere, even on demand, was through my mom's internet account thing, was the one with Beth. That's the only one I can find.
Huh. All right, so let's see, AMC Plus, pulling it up right now. Did you like the episode overall?
I did. The ending, I wasn't really like, oh my God, I can't wait until the next episode. I mean, I'm excited, but it wasn't like a crazy cliffhanger or anything.
Yeah. There's a lot of bullshit to call in that final scene, which T. White Sr. pointed out. And I said, oh, I'm with you. I had the same problems. I had the same bullshits.
The same bullshits.
Same bullshits. Yeah, I had to call bullshit on a couple of things because, well, we'll get to that. Right now, the app is downloading an update. So I will check later on. Let's get this thing.
Oh, okay.
Let's get this thing moving, by the way. Okay, so flashback 19 hours and act of God ago. Maggie and Herschel are leaving the hilltop. Herschel doesn't want to go. He wants to stay and help. And Maggie's like, you know, we're getting out of here. Isaiah and Marco and Maggie and Herschel head off. Hornsby is in the woods flipping a coin because remember, he has that lucky coin.
Yep, that came back. We saw that thing flipping in the air.
Yep. And it lands on whatever. And he tells the stormtrooper to pick what team he's on because he flipped the coin. I guess he makes a lot of his decisions based on the coin. And so one of the stormtroopers goes and says, all right, I'm on that team. Eugene wakes up in Max's bed. Eugene's getting laid left and right.
I thought that too. I'm like, my God, he's just hopping woman to woman.
He's got fake Stephanie, real Stephanie.
He hasn't had any the entire time, so now he's making up for lost time.
Now he's waking up and you know, the apocalypse, I guess, is different than most places, but... You know, I don't know if they
have... He's cleaning up, RSFS.
I don't know if they have... Yeah, I don't know if they have condoms, any kind of protection, any kind of like...
I feel like the Commonwealth would, but any place else, no.
You're talking about 10, 12-year-old condoms. Right? So, really?
Maybe, I don't know.
He's banging it out with Max. And Max says she's worried... about what's going to happen after they accomplish their mission, right? Whatever their mission is, what happens next? Right?
Yeah.
What do we do after that? I guess we'll see because we see in the episode sort of what happens. Daryl, Father Gabriel, and Aaron are part of the group that are searching for the guns and for the survivors of Riverbend. That's what they're calling the apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
So in case you're like, those people in the building, those are the residents of Riverbend. So they're on their own. I don't know why the troopers have allowed them to be alone together where they could plot.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly wouldn't let them talk. But again, nobody is smarter than us on these TV shows. They're dumb as bricks. They're talking like they want to overthrow these guys, you know, and then head home. And Daryl says, we got to keep heading north and wait for the right moment to take them out. He tells the troopers some fake story, which was very clever, about, we should go to Charleston. I hear they've got some rooftop thing where they trade weapons. They trade for weapons. So he's trying to keep them, like, away from where he knows, you know, the other people went, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was clever. At that moment, a bunch of walkers bust through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man, which I thought was kind of strange. Daryl takes one of them out real quick with the knife on his gun, the sword at the end of the gun, whatever. And one of the troopers, I think it was Romano, the bald leader, he struggles to kill one of them and then gets it on the ground and then beats the crap out of it over and
over. Oh, that
was
an anger kill.
Yeah, he slashed the thing's head open with the butt end of his gun. He lost his mind, really. And Daryl kind of looked at him like, dude, you guys don't know what you're doing here. You really don't. So the trooper calls into base to let them know they're 13 miles away from the nearest checkpoint. He's calling into Hornsby. So Elijah looks up in the sky and he hears buzzing. And it's the locust. And I thought, okay, that's going to mean something. It didn't. Meant nothing.
Nothing happened.
Maggie looks really stressed when she tells Herschel that the place they're going now may not be permanent, but it's the right choice for them to live now. They run into Lydia in the woods. Lydia takes them to a clearing. She taps her gun on the ground, and it's a trap door to where Negan and all of his people are. And we learn later it's a whisperer hole. And so did Maggie plan on having them live in a whisperer hole? Or were they going to Oceanside? Or were they going to Commonwealth? I couldn't imagine they were going to Commonwealth.
Oh, definitely not.
So were they going to go live in a whisperer hole? Was that the plan?
I don't know. And how long does she want to keep them down there? Till they stroll by and its coast is clear? I don't know. Is there really ever a safe time to let them out?
No.
No.
Maggie says to Negan, I started this fight with Hornsby and it's not going to end till I end it. Negan says, look, you helped my people. I'm going to help you, but my wife is pregnant and I'm not going to have her fight for a place like Hilltop that isn't worth saving. But I'll help Herschel if you want. I'll watch your boy for you. Herschel doesn't really trust me. And Maggie says, yeah, but I'm starting to. How huge is that?
Woo! I literally rewound that. I'm like, whoa, that is a big moment for her.
She says, you saved Herschel at Riverbend, and whatever will happen and whatever has happened, I'll never forget that. In other words, you bashed Glenn's head in. Spoiler.
You're doing me a solid with my kid.
Yeah, and you saved his life. You've proven that I can at least trust you. So, you know, maybe there's some future there. Now, on Talking Dead, Lauren Cohan made it very clear. She doesn't forgive him. They're not friends. Don't say we're friends. And she does talk about the spinoff, which we'll talk about later. Negan says, you've got big balls, Maggie, and I've got you. She says, I've got you, and I've got your boy. By the way, how many people need to safeguard Herschel in the hole in the ground? Aren't there like 40
people? I know, right? 40 There's so people? Many people. There's a lot of adults.
Why can't Negan fight? Why again is he staying back?
Maggie wanted him to stay back.
Well, he said, I want my wife to stay back. And then he said, I'll protect your boy. It comes off noble, but it also comes off a little chicken shit. So he did say he would help. He did. But he's quick to say, all right, I'll stay back.
Yeah, he did say that pretty fast.
You know, I'd like to see Negan start fighting, bashing some heads. But he doesn't. Hornsby's talking to Leah, saying, isn't this exciting? You get to kill the woman who killed your family, and I get to do my job without interference. Everybody wins. And then he says, well, not everyone. So Leah looks up, hears the horde of buzzing bugs, and smiles as if maybe that means that the bugs are somewhere with his people. Like maybe she can track them that way. She had that look on her face like,
She did have a look on her face.
But yet, that's not, it doesn't come into play. Now, if they showed her tracking the bugs and the bugs were by the hole in the ground, then it's an act of God. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, let me point out, I saw no reason for the locust in the show. Did you? Any reason?
No, like you said, if it had drawn her somewhere where there were people or something, I get it. But they all just stared at it and nothing happened. They didn't even interact with them.
Right. And I don't see how the act of God of the bugs plays into what happened at Hilltop. Like to say, flashback 19 hours ago and an act of God.
Mm-hmm.
There was no act of God that affected the show.
No, there wasn't.
Lance tells Leah he'll need to see proof that Maggie's dead. He gives her a walkie-talkie so she can call him. She says he will definitely see her. And she heads off with a bunch of men in black. Daryl is at the car junkyard. He says to the guards, you know, we should head back as soon as we're done. And I at this point I wrote, I have to believe at this point the troopers are under orders to kill the three of them, which is why we saw so many dead troopers in the trailer. And there was a shootout in the junkyard where they are now by the school bus. Thanks, trailer guy.
Trailer guy ruined it again.
Yeah, so we already know when they get to the lot with the cars, they're going to have a shootout with the troopers.
Yeah.
So no surprise there. The three of them are guys. Abraham's dead, spoiler.
Oh,
Aaron,
Gabriel.
Father Gabriel, and Daryl walk into the center of the junkyard. By themselves.
Mm.
Now, I have a question. Well, let me paint the rest of the picture. The troopers start going around the outside and surrounding them. Okay? They're going to ambush them. 30 seconds earlier, the guards, the troopers, were standing right behind Daryl, Father Gabriel, and Aaron, who had no weapons.
Yeah.
Why not just shoot him in the back of the head? Why do you have to make it elaborate?
Because that's what they do on this show.
I know, but again, like, did Ian Goldberg write the episode?
Poor Ian Goldberg.
So the troopers nod their heads to each other, like they're about to fire on the three of them. And before they can fire, Daryl nods to Aaron and Gabriel, and they start shooting at the troopers with their one gun. Father Gabriel and Aaron, it looked like they were both wounded. Right. So Father
Gabriel got shot. Yeah.
Aaron got shot in the shoulder because that's where the stars of the show get shot. And I thought Father Gabriel got winged or nicked, but he didn't. It looked like he did, but he didn't. Because these guys shoot like the Star Wars stormtroopers. They're standing on the side of a bus and they can't hit them.
Yes.
They're not that far away. Out in the open, they can't hit them. They definitely had stormtrooper aim. Father Gabriel sneaks around the bus and stabs one of them in the leg, takes his gun. Again, they keep shooting at Father Gabriel and missing badly. A horde of walkers starts approaching because they must have heard the guns. The three stars of the show, Romano, the bald leader of the troopers, is wounded and he's crawling on the ground. So one of the guys shot him in the hail of bullets and he's crawling on the ground without his helmet. Why doesn't he have his helmet on? Because we need to see his face.
Yes, so we know
right?
who he was.
We need to see his face and we need to see the terror in his eyes because Daryl puts a gun in his face. Which you couldn't do if he had a mask on. And Daryl says, where's Hornsby? And the guy says, screw you. Right? I'd rather have you shoot me than tell you where he is. So that's when they notice there's a horde of walkers coming right down the aisle, right at them.
And he changed his mind.
So he tells Daryl immediately, Hornsby's about 10 miles out, and he wanted to clear the field, meaning anyone who's not an ally, kill them. So Aaron assumes that means also take Maggie out. And he doesn't want Pamela to find out. So he wants them all dead.
He's so always looking out for his own ass. Yeah.
The guy spilled the beans, but Daryl still shoots him because I think he told him where Hornsby was so that they wouldn't let the walkers eat him alive. So they ate him dead. They did eat him.
Though. Oh, they did.
So here's my
question. Dead.
Here's my question. If the walkers weren't there and Daryl said, where's Hornsby? And the guy says, I'll tell you if you let me go. Would they have let him go?
He was shot really bad. I don't know if he would have made it anyway, but maybe?
Well, I don't know how bad he was shot because Daryl was willing to threaten to shoot him. If the guy knew he was going to die.
He was crawling away, but I think it was either be eaten alive or be eaten dead.
Right, but so. if he had told Daryl, would Daryl have shot him anyway is what I'm saying. Like, if he could have been helped.
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. So Hornsby calls on the walkie looking for Romano, and Daryl says, he ain't here anymore. and Hornsby looked terrified. So he tells like, his team to move out, and the walkers eat Romano up pretty good.
Oof.
Luckily, he was dead. I mean, he wasn't, you know.
Yeah, thank God.
All right. Let's take a quick break here. We have a bunch to talk about. And Pamela getting upset. And a fight that I find unbelievable. And we'll talk all about that right after this.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic. And you're listening to David Brody and Jamie on Walkers and Talkers. Your one-stop shop for all things Walking Dead.
Snakes. Zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All right, Jamie, we're back. Let's talk about Pamela. You're Pamela Milton. She's practicing her motivational speech for the big Commonwealth event, the Founders event, so they can honor her father at the big Founders event. And she says, Max, are you okay? You look distracted. Because, yeah, Max is thinking about robbing her filing cabinet.
Yep.
Her secret filing cabinet, which, by the way, is out in the open in the corner of the office.
I was going to say, it's right there. Like, it's not really a secret.
Yeah, I thought it'd be like, how's she going to find it?
Or needs a code or something.
Yeah. Max tells Pamela, hey, I'm fine. But hey, good news. The budget came over today, and there's a $50,000 surplus. And if you don't mind, I'd like to suggest maybe using that to set up a scholarship fund for the less fortunate families in the community. And Pamela looks thrown by that and says, you know, I appreciate your out-of-the-box thinking, Max. But all that extra money... God. All that extra money has to go right back into the event.
Wow. Really?
Max looks very sad at that point. And he says, oh, by the way, you're going to be late for your 5 o'clock dinner. And so she says, oh, I don't know what I would do without you. And she scurries off. And Max says, I'm right behind you. I'm leaving in a minute. Yeah. So the question is, do you think Max would have been as eager to break into the filing cabinet if Pamela was maybe not such an elitist bitch?
Nope.
So you think she would have broken in either way?
Oh, sorry. I heard you wrong.
No, you think she wouldn't have, I'm saying. You think she wouldn't have.
She may have, but if Pamela was nicer, I don't think she'd be as inclined to break in.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's 5 o'clock. We just established that, or it's almost 5 o'clock, right? Which is normally the end of a work day, even in Commonwealth. And as Max walks away, the camera focuses on the only filing cabinet. And you're like, okay, there's the filing cabinet. Cut to Maggie, Elijah, and Lydia. They're at Hilltop loading up on weapons. Loading them up. Now, I imagine everyone else at Hilltop has disappeared and went to live in the hole with the people from Riverbend, right? Everyone from Hilltop is gone.
Yeah.
They don't show Marco, but he's the fourth guy that's going to fight. And that's when I thought to myself, Marco, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Marco actually wearing a red shirt?
Oh, it was like maroon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, I said,
oh, no.
He's a red shirt. He's actually wearing
literally a red shirt.
Because they're not going to kill Lydia, and they're not going to kill Elijah, and they're not going to kill Maggie. So, oh, look, he's not even in this scene. And they keep showing him, right? Like, he hasn't been on the show in a while. He was around for a couple of seasons, and he wasn't around. They didn't show him a lot. He was always the guy on guard duty.
Kind of in the background.
Yeah, oh, there's Marco. Marco's driving the carriage, the horse and buggy. Marco, go get me this. Marco was around, but Marco didn't have a big role, but he's been around for a few seasons.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the show's ending in 9 episodes. Marco's not long for this world. So I was not surprised whatever happens to Marco later in the episode. Max starts going through the secret files in the not-so-secret filing cabinet. And like Carol, she knows exactly which file to go to. And she's reading through the first file, and she looks shocked at what she sees. Scandalo.
Gasp.
And perfect timing bullshit. At, I don't know, 10 minutes to 5 at the end of the day, Sebastian walks in, demanding to see his mother, and demanding that Max get his mother for him. So, a couple of things. If you're looking for your mother, why would you show up at 10 to 5?
Yeah, come a little bit earlier, honey.
You know your mother's schedule. Why would you show up at 10 to 5? Then she says, Max, get her for me. You think the secretary, the assistant, can get the governor of the Commonwealth to just come back?
I know, right? I'm like, wow, ballsy.
So she says, look, she's at dinner, but I can get word to her. And that made him more angry. You'll get word to her?
He looked drunk or high or something. Yeah, both.
Right. He was definitely out of it, which is good because she's holding the secret file at this point rather tightly. He says, oh, I noticed you're taking your work home. You're a hard worker. And then he goes to talk to her. I don't remember exactly what happened, but then she drops the folder because that's what scared women do in these movies. You know that. Oh, heavens, I dropped the folder.
Oh, no, don't get that.
Right. Horror movies, they trip. And in suspenseful espionage type moments, you drop the file. So he picks it up and they're both holding it like they're both pulling on it. And so you think he's going to see it. But then he says to her, ah, you take it. And he leaves. Now, he was drunk, right? Or something?
He was something, all right.
So does he remember that she looked in the files?
He may.
Does he tell his mother, like, oh, she was looking through the files? Or, like, because we don't even know if he sees her, if he ever gets to talk to his mother. And I doubt he would bring up Max. Oh, that Max is a hard worker.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it raised any suspicion.
Right. Leah and her men are heading to Hilltop at night, and the bugs are flying over again. But again, they don't do anything. The house seems empty, but they're doing a full search of the house at Hilltop. And the couple of the men open the office door and it's booby-trapped and they blow up, killing three of them. Boom! And I thought to myself, I guess it's okay to blow up Hilltop because the show is ending.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You already, Kingdom's gone. So why not just blow up Hilltop because you're just not going to live there anyway. So who cares?
It's already on its way out. Yeah.
It's already on its way out. So who cares? Maggie is by a car. They're ducked down watching it happen. And she tells them to go inside and get the weapons of the guys we killed. First of all, she's assuming that the bomb killed all of them, but it didn't.
Nope.
So Marco and Elijah stand up, and Marco gets shot in the head by Leah.
Ooh, headshot.
To which I wrote, red shirt. So I said, well, apparently Leah wasn't killed in the blast. Leah comes out of the smoke and I guess the horde of bugs now that are there. And she's coming through them like a badass, like slow motion.
Thoroughly, yeah.
Thoroughly badass. Apparently, Hornsby arrived because four men who are still alive wearing black and Hornsby stormtroopers are going through the house now. And Hornsby looks pissed. Now we're back to the beginning of the show. Hornsby steps in the blood and you realize it's the blood from Marco's head.
Mm.
Hornsby calls on the walkie-talkie and says, what the hell happened? And she says, I was drawing them out. She says, I'm doing things my way. And Hornsby says, your way got my men killed. And she said, that's collateral damage, and turns the walkie off. Like, hey, I'm doing my job. I had to, you know, have the bomb go off, you know, set the trap off. Daryl's group is in the woods. There's a bunch of dead troopers. And I guess they're over where Hornsby was at some point. And there's walkers in the forest walking around. And there are traps throughout the woods that he notices. And one of them says, I guess those are traps for the walkers. And Daryl says, nah, those aren't for the walkers. So I guess Leah made the traps.
But it probably knows her style, too.
Right. But then there's no, you don't see them. They don't kill a walker.
You don't see them.
Yeah, is it just to to reinforce that Leah's a badass? I guess.
Or that Daryl knows her so well. He knows those are hers.
Right. But But that's unnecessary because 5 seconds later, Father Gabriel finds a bracelet, and Daryl says, that's Leah's.
Mm-hmm.
And then true. He says, what?
I said true.
So then Daryl says, we better split up. Well, why would you split up? If you find Leah, don't you want to find her together so that maybe she wouldn't kill you guys because Daryl's there? Why would you want Father Gabriel or Aaron to run into her? And then we don't see either one of them again. Like, wherever they split up, we don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie's group is also in the woods, but we don't know which woods. We don't see an overhead. Like, it would be great if they showed us on the map where everybody was, but they're just in the woods. Maggie says to Elijah and Lydia, why don't you go and try to, you know, draw the troopers away? I'm going to have to do this by myself. And so I thought to myself, well, I wrote it here, in reality, in the real world, what chance does Maggie have against a trained assassin
in the woods
where she's wearing all black? Now, I will say that I was surprised Leah didn't put her hair up and didn't put like mud on her hair and on her face.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're blonde and you're very white. So why would you be walking around the forest? I know you want to look good for the camera, but it seemed like a real warrior would have mudded up her face and her hair and put it up. Anyway, Connie, Kelly, Magna, Max, and Eugene are going through the papers from the file folder, and they're matching names on the sheets to the names on the list that Kelly had. We still don't know who gave them the list, by the way. There are coordinates next to everyone's name, but they don't know what the coordinates mean. Connie says, I'll write a story about Hornsby and the heist and the house, because we can't blame anything on Pamela until we find proof of the larger thing going on here, mm-hmm. right? Let's go after Hornsby, but we can't, like, whatever the big picture thing is, we don't have proof of, because we can't decode this thing, this paperwork. Ezekiel comes over and he says, hey, I've got a whole network of people ready to ride at dawn to hand out the newspapers. So here's what I'm thinking. She can't go back to work at the newspaper because there's no way her boss is going to let her print this article, right?
Yeah.
So how did they print the newspaper?
In the night, maybe?
So you think they broke in, printed it in the middle of the night? I guess, right? I wrote this note to myself, which I said to you a couple of weeks ago, maybe even last week. The people on the show, the stars of the show, our people, wherever they go, they just fuck shit up. Oh, it's not done the way we want? Let's fuck it up.
They do.
All right, let's take another quick break here. And when we come back, we will talk about Maggie and Leah and Talking Dead. And then I'm going back on vacation. Is that fair?
That's fair.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Seth Rogen, and you're listening to the Walkers and Talkers podcast with David Brody and Jamie.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Okay. Maggie's alone in the woods. A female walker is approaching her. I thought it could be a trap. I thought maybe the walker was pushed on its way by Leah, like to get Maggie to come out in the open. So Maggie lets the walker come right up to her face.
Oh.
And then kills it at close range, quietly, and then lays her down on the ground.
Yep.
So Maggie, listen, they're making Maggie look like she's really ridiculously kick-ass. Like she had some real fighting training in the season and a half she was out.
She did.
Anyway, it's a massive wooded area. So at that point, I wrote, I'm not sure how anyone would find anyone, but of course they're going to. Right? Like, you're in the woods is West Virginia? No, Virginia. They're in Virginia.
Virginia.
Right? But they're in a wooded area. I'm assuming it's very large. You haven't run into Aaron, Father Gabriel, and Daryl. So, of course, Maggie spots Leah before Leah spots Maggie. How's that possible? How is that possible?
I don't know, but it happened.
Maggie's walking around upright, like just walking around. Well, anyone who's a trained killer would be able to spot you. They'd have a vantage point. They'd be up in a tree. They would set traps.
You're right, a tree or something. They could have an aerial view.
The fact that they're both walking around loose, like loosey-goosey.
Loose.
Right? Like, I just don't, it doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, Maggie fires three shots at Leah and hits her in the leg. And then she runs off. So not only did Maggie see her first, she shot Leah before Leah could shoot her.
Yep.
I'm calling bullshit. Leah is a trained assassin. She's militia.
She is.
I know she's Maggie Ree, but you're talking about taking out. It's like what Hornsby said. You expect me to believe that these two guys were able to survive, and all of my trained killers were taken out by some people living in an apartment building? Is that what you're telling me?
Exactly.
So she goes to run up to Leah, thinking Leah would be leaning against the tree where she was shot. And of course, Leah's the other side of the tree and swings around and knocks her out with the butt of her gun.
Ow.
Somehow, she carries Maggie back to the cabin. I don't know how far they are from the cabin, but wasn't the cabin relatively near Alexandria?
I think so. Maybe she fireman carried her.
So she fireman carries her 20, 30 miles?
That is not possible.
So, okay, yeah. Again,
with a shot leg.
Yeah, thank you. Her leg is bleeding, and she carries... There was no motorcycle. There was no car. There was not even a cart, a wheelbarrow. Nothing. Somehow, she gets Maggie back to the cabin. Of all places, take it to the cabin. And she does the one thing that every bad villain does. I'm going to tie you up. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to tell you my plan. I'm not going to kill you right away. The fuck out of here. You want her dead. She killed everyone you know. I'm going to make her suffer and watch everybody die. What's the difference? Once you kill her, she won't remember that she watched her family die.
Exactly.
If the whole point is you're going to kill her anyway, then kill her. I don't get that. I'm going to make you watch your family die. Okay, but it's not like you live in heaven and you remember that image the rest of your time in eternity. Like, I mean, you might, but I'm of the belief you're dead, you're dead. So you're killing Maggie, but I'm not going to kill you till I limp and by myself capture everyone you love, even if they're in the middle of Commonwealth protected by the military there.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to find them. I'm going to find everyone you love. Well, do you know everyone she loves? How much do you know about Maggie to kill everyone she loves? Exactly. You know Elijah, maybe. Do you know her son? Do you know Herschel?
Probably not.
Are you going to kill Daryl? She loves Daryl. Are you going to kill Daryl? Are you going to kill Aaron and Carol and Ezekiel? You don't even know these people. Dumb plan. So she wakes up and Leah has the gun in her face and Maggie's tied to the chair the way Daryl was when he first met Leah. And if you notice, the whole time she's sitting there, she's untying her ropes on the hands.
Yes,
right?
I was watching that.
Again, I want to point out, she's a trained military expert.
You would see Maggie doing it. She would. She should have.
Not only would you see her doing it, you would tie ropes that she can't get out of. You're a trained military person. You're going to tie ropes on Maggie? You tie her ropes to the chair and to themselves where she can't muster up enough strength.
Exactly.
And you know everyone's going to try to untie. Please, you're... I think a bunch of people tweeted me that was bullshit, which I agree with.
Agreed.
Maggie says, if you wanted me dead, you would have done it already. You want me to suffer all of the pain. It's not going to work. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you feel better. And Leah says, you're wrong. Oh, and it's not just you, by the way. When I'm done, everyone you love will be dead. Again, I already told you what my thoughts were on that. That's not a thing. That's not possible. Okay, it's the next day and Hornsby is still walking through the woods. Now, did you notice Hornsby is walking with his shirt and tie and his vest and his men are on horses? Why is he walking 20, 30, 40, 50 miles and his men are on horses?
That's a good point, actually.
You're the leader.
Yeah, hop shouldn't on you that
be
horse.
Shouldn't you be on somebody's back, riding behind somebody else on a horse?
You would think so.
She's untying the ropes. Leah's gun is in her face. She unties her hands. Leah doesn't notice. And then she jumps on Leah. Leah doesn't have the reflexes fast enough to shoot her. As a trained military militia assassin person. She knocks the gun out of her hand. They fight. She cuts Leah with her knife. Leah knocks Maggie to the ground, pulls out her own knife. She headbutts her. Then she cuts Maggie's leg. By the way, we never see her wounded leg again.
No, we don't. It's
Maggie's
like it didn't
fine.
Happen.
Maggie's fine. She flips Maggie to the ground and starts punching her in the face repeatedly.
Oh my God, that was hard to watch.
She then goes to stab Maggie. And by the way, a couple of times she tried to stab Maggie and Maggie was able to grab her hands. And even though the knife was flying at her, grab her hands and stop the knife from getting her.
Mm.
You know what kind of expert in timing you have to be to grab the hands of a knife flying at you into your leg?
A lot.
But,
yeah.
But Maggie did it. Now Maggie, on her back, having her face demolished, has the strength to hold the weight of Leah pushing down on the knife from getting into Maggie. Maggie is able to hold the knife back. Even though Leah is stronger, not beaten up, and has full body weight on top of her. Then Leah gets shot in the head.
Oh.
And it's Daryl. So here's my question to you. I want you to think about it for a second and a half. Jamie, how did Daryl know that Leah captured Maggie? How did Daryl know that she fireman carried Maggie 40 miles on her bad leg back to the cabin? Go ahead, I'll wait.
He wouldn't know. But if he were in the area of the cabin, he figured maybe I should go in there and check for her.
Now, was there a gunshot? There was one gunshot?
Oh, yeah, the gun did go off between Lee and Maggie once or twice. So if he was in the area and he thought, oh boy, what's happening here?
Right, but Aaron and Gabriel didn't hear.
Not that we saw that they found, because everybody split up.
And so Daryl was in earshot of the gunshot, even though the cabin is nowhere near the hilltop or the hole in the ground or wherever Maggie was in the woods. Fair?
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense. Yes, okay. Fair.
Hornsby and his men are now outside the cabin. Again, I don't know how they knew about Leah's cabin location or why they are there, but even if they heard the gunshot, they couldn't possibly have gotten there that quickly. And why would they think Leah... do you think Leah was like, I'm going to take Maggie back to the cabin? No, of course not, because she said, I'm going to kill Maggie. Mm-hmm. She didn't say, I'm going to go to the cabin and you can come and watch me kill her, because her intention wasn't to kill her. It was to go get Herschel.
Exactly.
So everyone's at the cabin, and it makes no sense that everyone's at the cabin.
No, it doesn't.
Daryl fires out the window, and I guess he grazed Hornsby's face.
Oh, because... my God. Yeah, like a chunk missing out.
And yet Hornsby just looked angry. I would think he would have screamed, but he just looked like, I'm wounded in the cheek. So he's got to wear now a scar on his face for 8 episodes.
Ooh.
Or less if he gets killed.
And how's he going to explain that one to Pamela?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a lot of splaining to do. Daryl and Maggie sneak out the back because these idiots don't surround the place like you're supposed to. That's what you do. They find Leah dead, and at this point, they don't know for sure who shot Hornsby. They don't know. I assume they guess it's Maggie, but I don't think they saw Daryl through the window because it was a dirty window with a screen on it.
Yeah.
But, they'll say they did if they did. Maggie, bloody stabbed Maggie. Daryl, Gabriel, and Aaron meet up in the forest. They head back to the hole in the ground, and as I pointed out, once again, Negan didn't do any fighting.
Nothing.
But he kept everybody safe in a hole in the ground.
In a hole in the ground.
Buried. That nobody knew about. So very exciting. Okay. Max puts the file back in the filing cabinet. She goes and sits down. Lucky for her, she sat down in time. Pamela walks in and throws down a stack of newspapers on Max's desk that say, Pamela Milton is lying to you.
Mm.
Now, at this point, we don't know if she suspects Max had a hand in it, or she's showing Max, like, somebody must have broken in.
Like, can you
we
got to
figure
this?
Out who did this.
I took it that way.
Well, maybe. I think they want you to think that she thinks Max did it, but she can't prove anything. And she might say, like, damn it, we got to find out who did this. Now, maybe sometime in the last 8 episodes, Pamela bitches to her son, somebody must have gone through my files.
Oh, and I saw Max in there.
Yeah, he might remember, you know what? That night before the newspaper came out, I did see Max in your filing cabinet.
Ruh-roh.
They cut to Alexandria. The troopers are inside the walls, and they put a Commonwealth flag over the Alexandria sign.
Oh, yeah.
They do the same thing at Hilltop. Not sure what they want at Hilltop. There's not much there.
There's nothing there to claim. God, it's burned down.
Hornsby and his men take over Oceanside, and all of the women have their hands tied behind their backs.
That was upsetting.
At gunpoint, he flips a coin, and the show ends. Now, what did you think the coin meant?
Maybe they're picking a select few to come back to Commonwealth. I'm really not sure.
Well, your mind is not as evil as mine.
Oh, God. Well, what, are you deciding who they're going to kill?
They're going to kill all of them.
Oh, God. I don't want to think that way.
Well, that's what the coin flip is. I'm assuming the coin flip is, do they live or die? Now, remember, you're like, well, why does he hate Oceanside? Oceanside turned down his offer because Maggie turned down his offer. But what is the point of Oceanside if you kill people? In other words, exactly. if you, what was the guy's name? The bad guy from The Saviors.
Simon?
Simon. Simon killed all the men. These poor women now are going to get wiped out. Oh. If you're Hornsby, I know the purpose of this, of you wanted to expand the power base and you wanted to be in charge of three additional communities. If everyone's gone from Hilltop, what are you in charge of?
Nothing. And why kill right? everybody?
Nothing's growing there. They have no food. So what's the point of taking over? The house is burned out. They blew it up. You've got Glenn and Abraham's graves. Spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But other than that, what's the purpose of Hilltop? Now, Alexandria, you could enslave the people there and make them part of Commonwealth and make them work and then demand that Aaron and Father Gabriel come back maybe or whatever. But I didn't see a point to that. Now, if you kill everybody at Oceanside, other than having beachfront property, what do you... You got nothing. Why would you kill people that know how to fish and can supply food for
you? They're resourceful.
Yeah. So I would imagine the coin flip is for their death and maybe they don't die. Maybe the coin flip is for a couple of them. Like the coin flip is for each one. I don't know. Talking Dead, you didn't see it, but it was Norman Reedus, Lauren Cohan, and Josh Hamilton who plays Hornsby. They talked how Norman and Lauren talked about how sad they were at The Walking Dead being over and wrapping production. Although Norman was very like, it was a weight off my shoulders a little bit, although I'm going to miss everybody.
Really?
Whereas Lauren was like, oh, it was devastating. I was sad. Then Lauren talked about the Isle of the Dead spinoff. Daryl never talked about the Carol and Daryl spinoff. He did say that he and Carol will be in a lot more scenes because Chris Hardwick said, people keep asking, you guys aren't in a lot of scenes together. Are you guys going to be in more scenes? He said, yes. And he said, some of them will be badass scenes and some of them will be very emotional.
Oh, God.
I have to imagine if there are emotional scenes with Carol, Ezekiel's going to die. I think showing Ezekiel accomplishing things and being happy.
He rebounded. And optimistic
about getting back with Carol. Either he gets back with Carol, then he dies, or he doesn't get back with Carol, and Carol has to live with the guilt that she didn't get back with him. Like, maybe she turns him down, and then he goes out, like he leaves her apartment, and then dies on the way home.
Oh.
Or he dies in the
he's
fight.
He's dead no matter what.
Yeah, because why would Carol and Daryl leave unless, you know, like, if Maggie leaves with Negan, right, why would Carol leave with Daryl? Unless they were going to go look for Rick. But why would Carol leave Ezekiel?
She wouldn't.
And what's the sad part? Why would Carol be sad?
Because he died.
Why else?
Yeah.
They interviewed Jerry.
Jerry.
That they call him off the bench in the next part of the season. In other words.
Oh, good. Okay.
We're actually going to see him. He's, I'm off the bench. You're going to see me.
Aw.
They're calling me
Cooper
up.
Andrews.
So, well, I hope Cooper makes it. You know, a lot of them are going to die in the Commonwealth War or whatever they're doing, the uprising. So I hope Cooper is one of the people that survives. So anyway, Maggie, Lauren Cohan talks. She says that Maggie did not forgive Negan. I mentioned that already. And she says, when we go to New York, we're not friends. We're forced into a situation and we're on a mission. So is the mission looking for Rick? Because we were sort of hinted at that he might be in Philadelphia.
Yes.
So why are they in New York? And why does Negan have to go with Maggie?
And where's Herschel?
Right. The only reason they would go is if Annie was babysitting Herschel and Annie and Herschel were kidnapped and taken to New York. Then they would be forced to go together.
That's true.
Unless the CRM is in the last episode and they want them to go
death.
There for some... Yeah, what? Yeah,
that'd
right.
Be my so, death.
Well, they got to show up, right? I mean, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would think so.
I don't know. Who knows? She said it's very sparse, like in season one of The Walking Dead, meaning... You know how they walked around? There was not a lot of things going on. The streets were empty.
Yep.
I guess that's going to be the way New York is.
Interesting.
The streets are going to be empty, which I don't know how you managed to do that, but it happened during the pandemic, so anything's possible.
That'd be the perfect time for them to film.
Yeah, and I don't think they started filming.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. Josh Hamilton, the actor, admitted that Hornsby has no idea how close Daryl and Carol are. Otherwise, he might have thought twice about trying to kill Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
And he admitted... that Hornsby probably has a thing for Carol, that he likes women of power, and she certainly is a woman of power. Norman Reedus was asked about acting with children and how he's good at it. And he said, you know, I feel like Daryl always talks to them like they're adults. And he said, I'm always telling Judith to stay where she is and be safe, but that it's possible in the future he might tell her the opposite. So there might be an episode where he says, all right, Judith, I need your help. Let's go kick some ass.
I would love to see that little ass kicker.
Yep. They showed a lot of scenes. There's a scene from Fear where the bad guys, remember those guys who wore like the animal skins that wanted to invade and kill Strand?
Oh, God, yeah.
So I don't remember. Do you remember why they hate Alicia now?
No.
Okay.
So I'd have to go back and try to remember.
Yeah, you don't have to tweet us. We'll look it up. But
we'll figure it out.
They're after Alicia, and they're in a really nice house with a piano and a staircase. It looks like wherever they are, the house is well kept, like it wasn't hitting the apocalypse. There's a black gentleman in the house, and apparently he's been added to the show because next week on Talking Dead, he is a new cast member. His name is Warren Wawa Snipe.
Oh, Wawa Snipe.
I don't know if that's his real name. They just said new cast member, Warren Wawa Snipe. So I don't know if that's a nickname.
All
I guess
one word?
I don't know. He didn't type it. He said it on the air. I didn't look it up.
Oh, okay. Snappy said it.
So that guy is in the house, and they say to the guy, we're looking for someone. And they find a bottle of medicine that's good for fever and headaches or something. And he says, we're looking for someone who has a fever and has headaches. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, really? Because you got medicine for her. He says she was bitten and lost her arm, but for some reason she hasn't turned into a walker yet. And the guy says, I don't know anything about that. So the guy says, uh-huh, you don't know anything, huh? And starts playing the piano from high to low.
Because that's not creepy.
Yeah, so he's like, ding, ding.
Oh, God.
And then you hear clank, and the key to the piano doesn't hit. It doesn't hit the strings. He says, I think your piano's broken. And he says, it's just out of tune. It's an old piano, which makes sense since it's
an apocalypse.
Six, seven years into the apocalypse, maybe 4 or 5 years into the apocalypse of Fear. And the camera pans down and you can see under the lid of the piano and Alicia is hiding in the piano.
Oh, she's in there?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't know why you'd hide in a piano, but she thought that was the best place to hide.
I guess no one would. Why would you look at a piano?
Then there's a Tales of the Walking Dead commercial. Did you see that anyway?
I didn't.
So they show all six episodes at once on the screen, all the celebrities in six boxes on the screen. Then they show like a really quick montage of scenes from the different episodes. And then they show Parker Posey. I'm not spoiling anything. It's in the commercial. Parker Posey has her back to a couple of walkers walking down the street. Parker Posey's in a really prim and proper, expensive-looking outfit. She moves her hair to expose her neck and says to the walker, go ahead. And the walker walks up and bites her in the neck and she screams. And that's the episode. That's the commercial. That's the commercial.
Oh, my God.
So they're already telling you that Parker Posey lets herself get ripped, her neck ripped open. So I don't know what that's about. If that's the end of the episode, you just ruined the episode. And
yeah,
if it's the beginning of the
trailer
episode,
guy.
Yeah, if it's the beginning of the episode, then I want to see a flashback to where we got to that point.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, but that's in the commercial. So I wrote, thanks, commercial guy. Because it's not a trailer, technically.
Oh, yeah,
you're
right, well, commercial guy.
Yeah. Then they showed a sneak peek of the first episode back of The Walking Dead. Carol is babysitting Judith and Gracie, and they're talking about pictures that Carol took of different people around town.
Hmm.
And there's some commotion outside. And she looks out the window and the people are in the streets of Commonwealth with picket signs that say, we want Sebastian. Pamela's been lying to us. They obviously saw the newspaper and believed it. And now they're marching in the streets. In the middle of the crowd, Carol sees fake Stephanie and fake plumber guy walking to her apartment.
Uh-oh.
She assumes they're coming to see her. And she tells the kids to hide. And then you hear them at the door. And that's how the clip ends.
Ooh.
So what I'm wondering is, how much happened before this scene that they think Carol had something to do with it? Or is it solely based on the fact that Hornsby and Carol talked about the house being broken into and him seeing that Carol was upset about it? So he must think she ratted him out.
He probably does.
So he sends his top secret people to go get her.
RS.
So that's
I mean,
that's
FS.
FS. That's the clip. Norman Reedus has a book out called Ravage.
Already ordered it. It's on its way to my house.
Okay. Unless it has nude pictures of him, you don't even know if you're going to like it.
It's him. I probably will love it. I have his photography books. I have a lot of stuff from him.
Yes. And you have a 10-inch Daryl Dixon.
I do. And it's an action figure, people.
Oh, I'm sure there's action.
Oh, my God.
That's what I figure.
Stop it.
I think there's action involving your figure is what I'm thinking.
No.
Oh, yes, yes.
In my storage unit.
Is that what you call it?
Thank God, I have to go.
I've never heard a woman call it that.
Oh, check
out my storage unit.
Oh, my God.
Do you have a lock on the storage unit?
I do, with the key.
Like a chastity belt?
Oh, no, it's just like a... I can't speak. Oh, my God.
All right. Next week on Talking Dead After Fear, new cast member Warren Wawa Snipe.
Wow, that's the best ever.
Who plays the homeowner. He's added to the cast. Band leader Reggie Watts from The Late Late Show with James Corden. Big fan of The Walking Dead. And my favorite... executive producer, Ian Goldberg.
Oh, your favorite. It's your guy.
My guy. Oh, my God. I got to send him a nasty tweet in a few minutes.
He'll definitely see it.
Yeah. All right. That's it. So let's recap. It ended fairly well for the second section of The Walking Dead. Much like the people on Talking Dead, rather. I am very sad there's only 8 episodes left. 8 episodes left.
I am, too. It's like coming to an end after all these years.
Yeah. And it was funny that Norman Reedus and Lauren Cohan were both on the show since they're both having spinoffs. But he didn't draw attention to that. He didn't say, like, you're both done, but you both have spinoffs.
And it's weird because the Daryl and Carol thing, I feel like we've known about for almost years.
Right, but why wouldn't you reference it?
And they're not.
They didn't reference it. Right. I would have thought, you know, he didn't say, like, oh, you guys are going to be in a lot of scenes together. You haven't been in scenes. He's like, yeah. Plus, we have the spinoff. Like, no mention of the spinoff.
Do you think there's some chance that it won't happen?
I told you, I think one of the spinoffs is fake. I think Daryl's too important not to have a spinoff.
Yeah.
Like, Daryl and Carol are the most popular people on the show.
Yeah.
I just feel like maybe like if Jerry got a spinoff.
No.
That would be fake and he'd be done.
I love him, but it's not real.
Right. I mean, I would, Jerry, that'd be the name of the show. Like the credits would be just like, boom, 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 Jerry. That would be the show. That would be the theme song.
Jerry. He'll serve peach cobbler.
So I have a feeling Ezekiel doesn't make it, so we get to see Jerry cry again.
Oh.
I mean, I hope Jerry doesn't die.
I hope not. He's got so many kids.
I think it makes sense for Ezekiel to die because
it does.
He's outlived his comic book so much.
It does make sense.
And it would give Carol a reason to leave. Bad memories. Mm-hmm. I can't stay here. I got to go.
She's got nothing holding her back then.
And Daryl has nothing holding her back, except the kids. But who takes care of the kids? Does Michonne come back and take the kids? I don't know.
It'd be nice if Judith had a mama again and RJ.
By the way, I did see Trevor. Was it Trevor talked about this on Trev's Chan? Or was it one of the other ones? It may have been Trevor. There was a rumor. I wouldn't put too much weight into it. That the movies have been such a delay and such a problem that they might just have a Rick spinoff show.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of town.
Now, if Rick were to get a spinoff show.
Oh, my God.
Then he could show up in the finale.
Yeah.
But why would Daryl and Carol leave him? Exactly. And if Rick is in the Daryl and Carol show, then it's really The Walking Dead at that point.
And then I'm all for it.
Right. But the spinoff show would be Rick and Michonne is what I heard. But I don't know if this. I doubt that's true. But that could be a thing. Like, maybe Michonne shows up with the CRM and Rick is the leader of the CRM or the general or something, and they fight the Commonwealth.
Oh, my God. I have chills.
Oh, maybe I should be a writer instead of Ian Goldberg.
I think you should, because that's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. You know what? I gotta go write a script for that.
Go write a please submit yeah,
so,
it now.
So Jamie, with that said, I'm a very busy man now. It's time.
What time is it?
It's time to shut this shit down.
Not too bad.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.